Successful social interactions depend on trust. Social trust has major implications for the prosperity of the economy, the health of a democracy, the strength of the social fabric, and the support of strong social capital. But how solid are the bonds of trust in the Beehive State? That's the question we explore in a recent Utah Foundation report called The Kindness of Strangers, Social Trust in Utah. It's the second installment in our new Utah Social Capital series. Senior analyst Christopher Collard and I sat down to explore the findings of the report in this edition of Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Peter Reichardt. Christopher, the latest installment in our series on social capital in Utah tackles the topic of social trust. We rely on a few metrics to determine social trust, but we don't rely on polling data. Why don't you tell us about the metrics that we selected and maybe a little bit about why we could not use polling data for attitudes?
So one of the goals in designing this index was having it be something that we can look across all the US states, so we can get a good state by state comparison, and also something that we can kind of repeat going into the future, so we can periodically circle back to this question and see how things have changed. And so with those limitations, there's not any like long-term surveys that have kind of been asking people about social trust, how much they trust their neighbors. Although those surveys that do exist, they provide great information. Instead of those survey metrics, we kind of fell back on some common crime and conviction metrics that kind of get at the same question of how trustworthy is a community.
Apparently, attitudes towards trust are actually reflective of whether a community is actually trustworthy and vice versa. Isn't that right?
Yeah, so they should be pretty well correlated.
Let's look at the bigger picture for a second here. And what we do know from those attitude surveys nationally, it doesn't look good.
Nationally, attitudes about social trust have kind of been in a downward trend. In 2007, 57% of Americans had trust in the wisdom of American people making political decisions. But that fell about to one third by 2015 and kind of stayed low all the way through 2019. Similarly, trust in government fell as well, falling from about 50% believing that Washington could be trusted most of the time in the early 2000s to 16% by 2015. So there's been some steep declines over the past couple of decades in how much people trust the decisions made by the government, as well as political decisions by their neighbors.
And also the media as well. We've seen just in recent times, big drop-offs in the trust index for traditional media just within 2021. So something fairly alarming seems to be going on at the national level. Now, when we look at Utah, we do see that Utah tends to do a little bit better in these trust surveys. There was one from, I think, around 2015 where Utah ranked second in the nation on the percentage of adults who say they can trust all or most of their neighbors. On the other hand, when it comes to that national picture, Utah has below average levels of trust in the media, in educational institutions, and corporations. So there seems to be this phenomenon where we have a greater level of trust here at the state or local level. And then the further you get away from Utah, then you kind of have a diminishing level of trust. So now let's move on to these particular metrics that we looked at. And overall, it seems like we compare favorably on the measures that we used here, really across the board on every metric that we used in this report. Utah does outperform the national average.
So one of the things we looked at was fraud convictions per million people in Utah. And these have actually been falling since 2008. We went roughly from 30 fraud convictions per million people all the way down to 10 fraud convictions per million people. So this is a measure where actually Utah kind of performs well on. And there was a general trend in the United States, kind of a similar downward trend. But Utah kind of went from above average to below average on this. So Utah is moving in a good direction here.
And how do we compare in terms of our neighborhood? I mean, are we in line with the rest of the mountain states?
Or? Right. So in terms of the mountain states, we're not the lowest, but we are among the lowest. So Colorado, Nevada, and Utah are kind of the three lowest states. And they're all a fair amount lower than their surrounding neighbors.
What about breach of trust penalties? First of all, what are breach of trust penalties?
So breach of trust penalties are really interesting. These are when a crime takes place where somebody kind of took advantage of a position of trust. And because of that, they get essentially extra punishment tacked on to their conviction. And so just like some quick examples might be a doctor or a teacher taking advantage of a student or a patient. Another example could be an attorney embezzling money from their client. And in many cases, it could also be people pretending to or, you know, falsely representing themselves as people as a position of trust, like a doctor or a lawyer, where, you know, they have specialized knowledge that ordinary citizens kind of give them a little bit of extra deference. I mean, so even in crimes where someone falsely impersonates a lawyer or a doctor, that they could also get this additional breach of trust charge.
And the data suggests that this is clearly not a problem in Utah. We outperform the entire nation. We're really the best in the nation on this metric. And it's not even close. So we're looking at this, the three states that were tied for second best performing had four times more breach of trust penalties than Utah did in the three-year period, 2018 to 2020, that we were looking at. Let's move on to the next one, federal corruption convictions. We've maintained a relatively low level of federal corruption convictions throughout the past decade. How do we compare nationally, and how do we compare to our neighboring states?
So when we're looking at the three-year average, Utah and Wyoming essentially are the two lowest states with federal corruption convictions. The mountain states generally perform really well in this measure. Only, you know, all of the states except for Arizona and Montana have a substantially below average level of federal corruption convictions. Interestingly, Montana kind of used to be in the same ballpark as other Western states, but as of 2014 or so, they really jumped out. So during this time period after 2014, Montana, kind of the attorney general there reported how they had teamed up with the IRS and the FBI and really started cracking down a lot of corruption that was happening in terms of the disbursement of stimulus funds from the Great Recession. That might be one reason why the federal corruption rate is so high in Montana.
In Montana ends up in the three-year period we were looking at number one in the nation in terms of federal corruption convictions. And then you go to the other end of the spectrum, and the very bottom two states are Utah and Wyoming. So it really is interesting to see that we're all in the same neighborhood, but at complete opposite ends of the spectrum. One thing I think is maybe worth mentioning in this is that a more activist U.S. attorney or active FBI might potentially have an impact on the level of corruption convictions. Well, that's not to say that this isn't good news for Utah to be at the very bottom in terms of convictions.
Yeah, so these past three measures, we've all been kind of looking at convictions. You know, so these measures don't account for people who aren't convicted, who kind of get away with their crime. It also doesn't count for people who maybe pled down to a lesser crime in order to kind of avoid potential prosecution at a higher level. I mean, so there are some limits to the data. Also, you're going to find, you know, higher levels of convictions among prosecutors that are more active or maybe focusing more on these areas. But at the same time, there's going to be more to find in areas where there's higher levels of corruption and fraud.
And another little asterisk we need to put in this conviction and penalty discussion is with regard to the fraud convictions, because it's fairly well known and interesting to note that if you go back to 2018, Utah had the highest number of Ponzi schemes per capita in the U.S. And of course, a Ponzi scheme is a form of investment fraud. And when you look at it, I mean, it's not even close. Utah averaged 1.35 Ponzi schemes per 100,000 people. And then the next highest state was Florida, and they had half of a Ponzi scheme per 100,000 people, 0.51. So almost a third of where we were. But ironically, this could be because of social trust, right? Because we trust each other, we're more likely to get involved with these things. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly, well, that seems to be the case. Also, it may be the case that Utah fraudsters tend to specialize in Ponzi schemes, whereas
we have low levels of fraud, but the ones
low levels of fraud, but a high, yeah, we might end up having low levels of fraud, but kind of a high proportion of Ponzi schemes. That does kind of make for an interesting dichotomy there.
Moving on, the fourth and final category we looked at is violent crime. Why would we want to use violent? I mean, the other ones are obvious. You know, you're defrauding somebody, there's corruption, you're taking advantage of a position of trust. But why do we think of violent crime as indicative of social trust? And Christopher,
well, I mean, violent crime, when people, so we do a lot of surveys here at Utah Foundation. We have a survey regarding people's priorities when thinking about kind of electing a new governor. We have surveys on people's quality of life, and crime is something that always kind of comes up, not necessarily among the top five, but often kind of, between 5 and 10, if we're ranking these other issues. And, when we ask people about it, they're kind of most worried about violent crime. It's something that Utah actually performs really well on. We actually have really low levels of violent crime, but it kind of has a psychological impact. Crime can lead people to withdraw psychologically and physically from a community. If you're worried about your physical safety, you're less likely to interact with your neighbors. You're less likely to kind of build those social trust networks.
If you have declining social capital, that can lead, because of what all that implies, to higher crime rates. And then that feeds a fear of crime. And then you have people, as you said, they're kind of withdrawing from the community, either psychologically or physically. And then you have a reduction in businesses and jobs. And then you have a further lowering of social capital. So it seems like you can kind of get into this downward spiral. And then meanwhile, the high crime rates just do really seem to be indicative of low social capital. Let's look at the picture here in Utah. How do we compare, and what do the trends look like?
So Utah, kind of three states in the Western region have just kind of performed really well. Utah, Idaho, and Wyoming were definitely the three lowest in the mountain states and among the three lowest in the nation. And all three states have just kind of had a permanent low level of violent crime. We should note that, the latest data we have on these is 2019. And, there's been a notable crime spike since 2020, perhaps somewhat related to the pandemic and afterwards, that isn't going to be reflected in the data we have currently available, that kind of allows us an analysis at a national level comparing state to state. But, historically, Utah, Idaho, and Wyoming have all had a really low level of violent crime.
But this is one where, if you look at the trend lines on all these metrics we look at, this is the only one that doesn't appear to be going down. And in fact, in recent years, it seems to have kind of ticked upward a little bit, or trended a little bit upward. So it seems like something maybe we should be worried about.
I guess based on our surveys, crime and more especially violent crime is something that Utahns tend to be a little bit perennially worried about. And a lot of it's related to, kind of their own sense of safety.
When we look at the big picture here of what seems to emerge, a couple of states across these measures seem to do fairly well. I mean, when you look at violent crime, Utah comes up, Wyoming comes up as high performing. When you look at federal corruption convictions, again, Utah and Wyoming do very well. Breach of trust penalties, we did talk about Utah being the best in the nation on that. And then again, on the fraud convictions, the only state in our neighborhood that was doing better than us was Colorado, which is the best in the nation in terms of fraud. So this looks like a pretty good picture we put together here on social trust for Utah. Would you agree, Christopher?
Yeah. And I mean, so across these four metrics, they work really well for Utah. Kind of like you said, Utah was the lowest for one of the measures, the second lowest for another. And then among the top bottom, for a third and below average on all four measures. So there is definitely something where Utah really performs well by these measures.
And then, but we do have states in our neighborhood that do poorly on some of these measures. I mean, when you look at fraud, Arizona is really among the worst performing. When you look at the breach of trust, Montana was one of the worst in the nation. When you look at federal corruption, Montana is the worst in the nation. When you look at violent crime, New Mexico is what, second worst in the nation on violent crime. It is interesting to see that we're faring well in a lot of these areas where some of our neighbors are not. Anything else that you would add on all this, Christopher? What should the public be taking away from all of this? And what should we be keeping our eye on as we move forward here?
Well, I guess one thing to keep your eye on is kind of the broader project. This area really does focus on, you know, social trust in terms of crime, both fraud and violent crime. And, you know, by these measures, Utah does really well. Our previous report, we were looking at, you know, civic engagement, and that was a little bit more of a mixed bag for Utah. So we are looking at these measures across 30 different measures. This one does work really well for Utah. Utah looks really good in light of these measures. But yeah, also keep in mind there's a lot more ways to measure social capital, and going forward, we look forward to sharing more with those with you.
And we should note too that social trust is woven through some of these other issue areas, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, if you don't trust your government or say the process of voting, you're much less likely to participate. If you don't trust that public meetings make a difference, you know, if you don't trust your politicians, if you think they're all corrupt and just going to make the decisions that line their own pockets, you're much less likely to go to a public meeting or participate that way as well. So yeah, social right. trust is kind of key in a lot of these measures.
Well, thank you, Christopher.
All right. Thank you, Peter.
This has been Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. Follow our work at utahfoundation.org.